Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back, 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. And I appreciate your time and your attention. I appreciate Don Lambro, too, for joining us again. Don's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's chief political reporter with the Washington Times and that outstanding newspaper that's published in our nation's capital. And he's our good friend. Don Lambro, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Jim.
Hi, it's good to have you back, Don. Oh, by the way, Don, do you guess whose birthday this is today? Actually, this week. I'm going to say this week because it's not completely clear what day the thing this was born. But what birthday is being celebrated this week?
I do not.
It's 35 years old.
God.
The internet. Mm-hmm. The internet is 35 years old this week.
It's just a pup.
Yeah, just that's exactly right. I have clothes older than that, don't you?
Yeah, what a change it's made in our society.
Isn't that something? Yeah, and no, on this week that was the first week that the some of the folks who were working on this actually connected two computers and said, you know, could computers work with each other? Could they talk to each other? Could they actually, you know, network together? This was the first week it actually happened. So
that's fantastic.
That's
every
a big
time
deal.
I email somebody, I think it's a miracle.
It is, isn't it? It's incredible some of the things that you can do with the internet right now. Anyway, Don, this is a big political week, isn't it?
A great political week and an important one. Bush last night laying down a sweeping, aggressive, ambitious, to put it mildly, agenda for the next term, far beyond anything Ronald Reagan proposed in his second term, or any president I can recall proposing in a second term in modern political history, maybe with the exception of Lyndon Johnson, that wasn't really serving a full second term.
Well, he did, but and, you know, I know that you're calling it aggressive, and I don't disagree with that at all. But see, I don't see the main things that he proposed. I don't see them as so much different things as variations of the same theme, and what he called the ownership society.
Well, that's right.
If we get the ownership society ball rolling, then some of these things can sort of become you know, points A, B, and C in the same thing.
Well, that's true. Of course, the health care savings accounts was an idea before him, and then he extended it, and of course his signature proposal on Social Security. Which is a huge proposal that would chip away at the last remaining pillar of the New Deal welfare state.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is how he had already made. So we put them all together and added some others to the ownership society, a theme that I think resonates with a lot of people. It symbolizes opportunity in America, and you come to this country and you're in this country and you want to own a piece of it. And he wants to expand that.
Well, the one thing when people think about America, we think about it being the land of the free and the home of the brave, and you know where buffaloes roam and all that kind of stuff. But we are more than any other country in the world. We are an ownership society, aren't we?
We are absolutely, and it has been exponentially expanded in I would say the last few decades. Not so much by government, but by the financial markets, the capital markets, the private sector, and that, of course, with the whole revolution with mutual funds, which opened up stock ownership to ordinary Americans.
Right.
And so that has already been, 50% of Americans now
right.
own stock in America.
Up from about 10 or 20%. Or say, I think it was about 20%, maybe only about 14 years ago.
That's right. So we've already been doing that in a big, big way, and Bush wants to take that to a whole other level on the various accounts, health care, Social Security, portable plans that you would own, that you would take from job to job, and really change the whole system to reflect a new work relationship that we have in our country that is not like the old system that we had for the previous generation.
Absolutely. Well said, Don. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get Don's thoughts on how the overall convention went, how the overall Republican convention went. He's going to compare and contrast the Republican convention with the Democrat convention. And then we're going to move on and talk about some other things, including I'm going to ask Don to tell us how, if he knows anything about the overnight polling and what kind of a bounce he thinks that the Republicans are going to get. 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro. Don is chief political reporter with the Washington Times, and we're talking about politics, of course. What else with Don? He's one of our political experts. And Don, one of the things that I want to stay with just for a minute, and then we'll move on, is this whole thing of ownership. And you've heard me say before, Don, I've been saying this a long time, that the 20th century was the century of the major corporation. It was the century of Americans being adopted either by the government or by a major corporation. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. And entrepreneur doesn't necessarily mean business owner. There are going to be more entrepreneurial employees than ever before. There are going to be more business owners, small business owners, than ever before. And I believe I think there's a current that he could tap into that a lot of people don't appreciate, and that's the ownership society current.
Boy, I think so too. And when you talk about key parts of the economy, I mean, that resonates across the economy, every income group, every ethnic group, Hispanics particularly, which is of course the largest ethnic group and targeted voter group. I think, you know, we saw this in the numbers of the household survey. This morning we will get the unemployment report for August. It'll be based on the payroll survey. But as you know, the household survey always shows a much larger creation of jobs. And it goes right to the point you make. That has been showing a huge increase in people working. And they tend to be people who are increasingly contractors, businesses who outsource to Americans here at home to take over jobs rather than having an employee in their business. So that is working on another level where more and more people are working for themselves, often in their own home, and that's where you have the largest part of our job creation market in this country.
You know, Don, 25 years ago, if you'd asked somebody who didn't have a job, would you rather have a job or would you rather own your own business? Probably, I'm going to say 9 out of 10 would have said, and this is just my opinion, 9 out of 10 would have said, I want a job. But today, if you ask somebody who doesn't have a job, would you rather have a job or would you rather me show you how you can own your own business? Then I think the majority of those people would say, I want to own my own business. And that is a current, that is a tide, that is a tsunami that is happening. It's down deep right now. It's above the surface.
I totally agree with you. And we've always had that within our country. The immigrants who came here, they opened their shops. They were a nation of shopkeepers. My dad, who came to this country and was a barber and employed other barbers, had his own business. When I think back now, I mean, you know, it's such a risk-taking. A lot of people would be put pause to be their own be self-employed because you get up every morning, you don't know where your paycheck is coming from. It comes from your own work and owning it and getting out there and finding customers. This really particularly appeals to immigrants who come here, the Koreans,
yep.
and Hispanics, the Asians. These are people who want to own their own business, and they are making America work. And
the more you get, and the more the government either does or at least talks about getting out of the way of people like what you, the people you just mentioned, and helping them and helping them to be owners, not to be adopted.
Yeah, I hope Bush talks about this more. I hope he uses the word entrepreneur more, entrepreneurial society, and ownership. I mean, Ronald Reagan elevated entrepreneurs to heroic status throughout his 8 years. I mean, he believed in the spirit of enterprise and talked a lot about that in very poetic terms. I'm not sure Bush has totally found the poetry in it, and I think he has to talk about it more because that is the part, that's the key part of the American dream.
Well, and I think I've heard him speaking up in person to know that he believes it. The question
does believe it.
The question is as you say, and I think you're right. Will it get on the agenda enough, Don? Let's move over and talk. I want you to compare the Republican convention to the Democrat convention.
Well, a very very sharp contrast. We can start with the two acceptance speeches. And Kerry giving a litany of I will do this and I will do that, but no proposals, absolutely vacant of proposals. And Bush, of course, with surprisingly detailed proposals.
Perhaps too many.
Possibly too many, mm-hmm. But he wanted proposals that appealed to different parts of the electorate. At a time when people are saying, well, are we going through an economic soft patch? People are concerned about their economic security. So that part really addressed the economic security part of concerns in the country and had details in it. So a sharp contrast with Kerry, who had no details and still has not really provided any. And, of course, the big contrast was Bush's convention was really overwhelmingly dealt with national security, with the terrorist threat in all of the speeches, mm-hmm. in all of the imagery, and, of course, in most of his speech. And you had Kerry, who really didn't talk much about Afghanistan or Iraq at all, and was taken to task after his convention, even by his supporters in the media,
right.
That he didn't deal with this. So those are the big contrasts in these two conventions.
Don, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get Don to talk to us about, first, I'm going to get Don to tell us, what do you think the bounce is going to be, if any, for the president? Right after the convention, and then what's it going to look like going forward into the debates and the election? Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambrow, the chief political reporter for the Washington Times. That's WashingtonTimes.com if you're not fortunate enough to be a subscriber to that outstanding publication. And, of course, Don, your syndicated column is found in newspapers all over the country, isn't it?
It is, and twice weekly, and you can read it also on the Washington Times and on the Washington Times website and in the Washington Times National Edition and
right.
Papers around the country.
WashingtonTimes.com is the website if you want to check that out or subscribe over there and look for Don's byline whenever you can in your local newspaper. Don, what is going? I want to get your prediction. Now that you've watched the whole convention, Mr. Kerry got a little bit of a bounce. He got some. What would he got? 3-5%. I forgot his convention, but then he lost it during the month of August. He basically lost whatever advantage he had during the month of August. Talk to us about Mr. Bush's fortunes immediately. What do you think the polls are going to be right out of the convention, and how long do you think he'll be able to hang on to it?
Well, we'll have to wait and see whether he's going to be able to hang on to it. I think he's going to get a bounce out of his convention.
How much?
I'm not sure. I want to forecast a number.
We need a number, Don.
There, I think he'll get a bounce at least as high as Kerry, and possibly double what Kerry got.
Yeah.
But the thing about a bounce in this present political environment is there aren't many undecided, uncommitted voters left to give any bounce.
359.
It is so tight.
Don, they're 359. I found them. There are 359 Americans who are undecided now.
Okay.
That's it.
And you've got their names and addresses.
I know where they live. Yes, I know where they live.
Well, the Republican Party knows where they live because they put together an incredible operation in the states and in the battleground states, modeled after the Amway Corporation's pyramidal plan of from the national all the way down to the precinct and the ward.
Yeah.
And they're using people who are neighbors going door to door. They have names. They know who are uncommitted. And they're going to get all of those and get them to the polls. That's the plan. So this is going to be one of the biggest offenses in American political presidential history.
I read a little bit about the Republican organization and the numbers of people who are enlisted to support this thing. Perhaps the Democrats have the same infrastructure. I didn't see that a report on that, but I did on the Democrat on the Republicans, and it blew me away how many people, and I don't just mean people who are going to vote. I'm talking about people who are going to be out there knocking on doors, as you say. It was amazing.
It is amazing. It's huge numbers, and the key thing is that the Republicans is their neighbors, their people in the community. The Democrats in a lot of the battleground states are hiring workers, and the Republicans learned after 2000 that turnout is not as high when you have a stranger come to your door. When you have someone you know in
right.
your community,
right.
it makes a big difference, and you go to the polls because of that.
Right.
So I think there's going to be a bounce. I think it's going to be a fairly strong bounce. And I think he can hold on to it as long as he stays on the offensive and keeps Kerry on the defensive. And throughout August, Kerry has been on the defensive, which has snuffed out his agenda. I see today he's going to be responding to the convention on the question of they're attacking his patriotism and on the
yep.
question of Vietnam. That's bad for Kerry because the more he talks about that, the less he talks about his own agenda, whatever it is. And that's where the Republicans want to keep him. They want to keep
I still can't believe, Don, that they made such a big deal out of Vietnam at the convention. That's going to go down. I predict that's going to go down as one of the biggest political mistakes that anybody has ever made.
Well, I've been talking to Democrats over the last few days, and they say the very same thing. They say he's got to get off that issue. People aren't interested in what he did in Vietnam. He's got to start talking about the economy and jobs.
But it's too late.
That's where the Republicans want him to do. They want
yeah.
him to keep talking about
yeah.
his Vietnam experience. But so that is a big mistake for Kerry. And
Don, let me stop
you. That too late.
Let me stop you for a second. I got 30 seconds. How are the debates going to go? Is Bush going to hold his own with Kerry?
I think Bush is going to hold his own. Yeah, he's not one of these scintillating great debaters, but he is a good. He's good at being briefed. And I think he will hold his own. I don't think the debates matter, quite frankly. I think
really?
People are interested in the big picture, and that's what will decide this election.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I would have thought that I think the debates do matter. But you and I will talk about that when those happen, because I know you'll be joining us to cover the debates. Thank you, Don, for being
Absolutely.
Here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.